So it's amazing to be back, and I have to say, certainly in my days in yeshiva, the Beis Medrash at Night Seder was not this active, and there was not this much going on, and a really tremendous, tremendous yashar koach to all of you for the hours that you put in and for the Limud HaTorah that goes on. And this is the main purpose of this entire campus, is that we should have a strong Beis Medrash, and we should have Lomdei HaTorah who become great Talmidei Chachamim. It brings back a great memory when I once heard Rav Kook, who was the former chief rabbi of Rehovot, Rav Simcha HaKohen Kook, spoke here in the Beis Medrash a couple of years ago, and he mentioned that there were three Hasidim who were all talking to one another, and each one of them was enamored by their respective Rebbe, and they felt, only mine is the authentic and legitimate one. Now, how do you prove to your friend that your Rebbe is the legitimate Rebbe and nobody else's is? So one turns to the other and he says, you know, I have to share with you Chassidus Rebbe's moifus. I have to tell you a great story. And he says, one time my Rebbe was traveling down the dirt road, and all of a sudden there was a terrifying deluge. There was a downpour. And obviously, as we know, the horse can't travel when there's mud on the road and there's so much rain all over the place. So the Rebbe got out and he offers a quick tefillah on the side of the road, and it was a miracle. All of a sudden, there was rain to the right and rain to the left, and it was a clear, dry path in the middle. Second one says, I have to tell you a story. You know, once my Rebbe was traveling and it started getting dark outside, and as we know, the horse really can't see when it's dark outside, and he didn't know what to do. So the Rebbe gets out of his horse and buggy and he offers a tefillah on the side of the road, and suddenly, miraculously, there's dark to the right, dark to the left, and sunlight in the middle. So the third chassid didn't know how he was going to outdo the first two, and he turns to them and he says, you know, I have an amazing Rebbe Shemoifis. You know, one time my Rebbe was traveling, and it was Friday afternoon, and the problem is, as you know, once it gets closer to Shkia, you can't really travel anymore. So he's stuck. So he gets out of the horse and buggy, and he offers a tefillah, and suddenly, miraculously, it was Shabbos to the right, and Shabbos to the left, and weekday in the middle. So Rav Kook told a story, and he said that the feeling that he had when he came here to the Beis Medrash was that although it's a beautiful story and there's some irony to the story, but he said what the greatest miracle of them all would be somebody who lives in a world where there's so much obscenity, where there's so much craziness, where there's so much allurement and temptation, where there's such a corrupt and contaminated culture everywhere that we go, and yet we figure out how to create a path in all the chol that goes on around us on the right and on the left, and we have a job when we have an opportunity to create a path of Kedusha somewhere in the middle. That is the greatest miracle of them all. And that is the miracle that we have as Jews. We have the opportunity to create that path of Shabbos in the middle when we have chol to the right and chol to the left. In the very beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah says, Kedoshim Tiyu. And Rashi there says, Parsha Zu Bahakel Nemra. This Parsha of Kedoshim Tiyu was said in the presence of the entire Jewish people. So some of the Meforshim say, what does Rashi mean to teach us? And perhaps they suggest it means that being a Kadosh does not mean that somebody swears to celibacy, that somebody swears to live a life of abstention, that somebody decides that they don't want to be involved in anything that goes on around them in the world, cloistered away in an asylum somewhere, only focusing on themselves. That is not a life of Kedusha, to be disconnected with reality, to be disassociated with all that goes on in the world. That is not what Kedoshim Tiyu means. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants when he says Kedoshim Tiyu is, see if you can learn how to be a Jew who is committed, who is Parsha Zu Behakel Nemra, when you are in the context of all that goes on in the world, Behakel, with everybody around you, having a life that is fully committed and fully engaged to the global community, and yet occupying ourselves solely with the mission of Kedoshim Tiyu, figuring out how to do all of that with Kedusha V'Tahara. That is what Rashi means, Kedoshim Tiyu Parsha Zu Behakel Nemra. That is the greatest sign that a person has been successful in creating a life of holiness and creating a situation where sanctity is felt, where Kedusha and Tahara permeates the existence of what that life is all about. The very beginning of this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayetze. So we have the story of Yaakov Avinu, who as we know is a fugitive and he's afraid for his life. And then the Torah tells us that he goes to Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, as Rashi quotes from Chazal. And ultimately, he goes to this place, Vayifka B'Makom V'Yalan Shem. Now, we all know that that place ultimately became Har HaMoriah, the Har HaBayis, the most important place in all of Jewish history. But yet, at the time, Yaakov Avinu had no idea. And he has a tremendous revelation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav v'yomar, and he gives him a tremendous insight into all that goes on in the inner workings of the world. And Yaakov Avinu, like Chazal say in Chulin, is able to see Malachim, Olim, V'yardim. The Gemara explains what that was all about. The Malachim had kinah from Yaakov Avinu, and they were jealous of the fact that Yaakov had a part in the Kisei HaKavod. It's an amazing story. But there, Yaakov Avinu responds. And as he has this tremendous vision, Yaakov Avinu says, "Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati." And the Apta Rav so beautiful explains, what does Yaakov mean? "Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati." You know what surprised Yaakov Avinu at this moment of his life? Up until this point, Yaakov Avinu was living in the epicenter of spirituality. Yaakov Avinu was living in his parents' home, and Yaakov Avinu was living with a society around him where everything was honesty, everything was integrity, where everything was Kedusha v'Tahara. And Yaakov Avinu understood, of course, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found. Of course, that's where you will have a relationship with Him. But Yaakov Avinu was surprised. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Is it possible for somebody to be venturing out into the world? Is it possible for somebody to now become a shepherd? To live in the home of Lavan? To be tricked hundreds of times? To have obscenity all around them? And to have such a contaminated society and culture that they are now orbiting? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found there as well? Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. Yaakov Avinu says, of this I had no idea. This to me is a new reality. And this is something that never dawned on me until this point because I never had this experience. But that is what the Torah mandates of all of us, Kedoshim to you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should be people who are not just living in our own little corner and understanding what it means to have a relationship with God, but being Bahakel Nemra, being people who are completely engaged and totally involved in all that goes on in the world, but learning how to do all of that with a sense of Kedusha and a sense of Tahara. Of that, Yaakov Avinu says, V'anochi lo yadati, I was completely oblivious. I was completely unaware. I never knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence can be found and that we can carve out a relationship and a space for Him to be comfortable even in this kind of environment, even in this kind of setting. The Gemara in Sukkah famously tells the story of Shmonim Talmidim Hayu lo Hillel HaZaken. So the Gemara says that Hillel HaZaken, the great Hillel, had 80 Talmidim. And the Gemara there says that the greatest of all of them was Yonasan ben Uzziel, and the weakest of them was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ultimately became the Gadol HaDor. He was the leader of the generation. And yet the Gemara says that in Hillel's Beis Medrash, he was the least of all the Talmidim. So the Gemara says, what do we have to say about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? What do we know about him? And the Gemara goes on to an exhaustive list explaining all of the incredible value and the nature of the life that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived. And again, let's remind ourselves, he was the weakest of the Talmidim. So there the Gemara says that any other question that was sent from any other yeshiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was able to respond, he was able to answer. And the Gemara says he knew the Seichas Shedim, the Seichas Dekalim. He had such a brilliance. He knew how to communicate with the demons. He knew how to communicate with the angels. He knew how to communicate with everybody. He knew how to deal with everything. Havayas da Abaye v'Rava. Obviously, he was before Abaye v'Rava, but it means that he knew how to deal with everything. He knew kol chadre ha-Torah. And then the Gemara says, if that's what we know about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the weakest of all the Talmidim, what can we possibly say about Yonasan ben Uzziel? To which the Gemara responds that when Yonasan ben Uzziel used to learn Torah, kol of haporeach alav miyad nisraf, that when a bird flew in his immediate vicinity, that bird was burnt alive, that bird was scorched because of his supreme degrees of holiness, because of the Kedusha that enveloped the life of Yonasan ben Uzziel. He was not able to tolerate any animal that came in his vicinity because he was such a Kadosh v'Tahar. That's what the Gemara says about the Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken. So the Kotzker Rebbe asked, if that's the case, And that's what we know about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the weakest. And that's what we're told about Yonas ben Uzziel. May I ask, says the Kutzker, what is left to say about Hillel? Obviously, they saw something in Hillel that made them want to study by him and made them want to learn under him. Obviously, Hillel was greater, but how can you possibly be greater than these Talmidim? And the Kutzker writes, you know what was greater about Hillel? You know what makes Hillel the Gadol Hador of that generation and the one who we all follow subsequently for so much of Torah Shebaal Peh? The answer is that Hillel had all of the milos of his Talmidim. Hillel had all of the Talmud Chacham that Yochanan ben Zakkai was, and Hillel knew how to do everything that his Talmidim were able to do, and Hillel was even more holy than his Talmud, Yonas ben Uzziel. But what was special about him was that he was able to tolerate the bird that flew in his vicinity. That was the great Kedusha of Hillel. That he was able to figure out how to take all of his inspiring levels of Kedusha and integrate it into the world and the society in which he lived. That was the greatness of Hillel, and that's why the Talmidim chose to study under him, because he, in fact, figured out how to live that life, doing that miracle of figuring out how to be in a society of chol to the right, chol to the left, and creating a culture of Kedusha in the middle. Upon the completion of the building of the Mishkan, so we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi quotes in Parshas Vayakhel, that Moshe Rabbeinu offers a beautiful tefillah. And I remember, as I'm sure many who were here when the Gluck Beis Medrash opened, the beautiful tefillah that was printed outside, Yehi Ratzon Shetishra Shechina B'Masa Yadeichem. That is actually the tefillah that is on the wall outside of the Beis Medrash. And it's the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu that Rashi quotes from the Medrash. That the Shechina should be Shara B'Masa Yadeichem. And what Moshe Rabbeinu meant to say at that time was, I understand how much everybody has invested of themselves and been solely focused on building an edifice where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can rest his Shechina. And that's amazing. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, now I pray, now I daven that everything is over. I hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept that which we have done, all the hard work that we've been involved with. I hope He will actually reside in this beautiful Beis HaMikdash, in this Mishkan. That is the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Ksav Sofer asks, why was the tefillah even necessary? After all, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised from the outset, Va'asu li migdash v'shachanti v'socham. If you, Klal Yisrael, will build a migdash and follow all the rules and do everything that Moshe Rabbeinu instructs you to do, and you will construct it in the way that you were expected to do so, then v'shachanti v'socham. I, in turn, will do my share, Kaviyachal. I will do what I'm supposed to do, and I will come and reside in your Beis HaMikdash, in your Mishkan. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to offer a tefillah if, after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised this from the outset? Did he not believe that the Ribono Shel Olam would come through with his promise? Did he think that he needed to make sure to remind the Ribono Shel Olam of what he promised before? That is question number one of the Ksav Sofer, but number two, he asks, normally when we offer a tefillah, we make sure that we mention who it is that we're praying to. So we direct the tefillah. We say, Yehi Ratzon Milifnei Avinu Shebashamayim. That's the way which we daven. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We direct our tefillah and our bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God Himself. Obviously, that's who we are referring to. That's who we are connecting to. It's who we're speaking with. But here, the way Rashi quotes the Medrash, and again, if you look in the Medrash, in the original, it's not a question, because the original Medrash has the whole line. But the way Rashi quotes it is, Yehi Ratzon Shetishra Shechina B'Masa Yadeichem. Why are we missing the most important part of the line? It should be, Yehi Ratzon Milifnei Avinu Shebashamayim. It should be your will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a tefillah that was offered to the Ribono Shel Olam, that you should be Shorei your Shechina B'Masa Yadeinu. Why does he leave out the most important part of the sentence? Why does he leave out the mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And suggest, Ksav Sofer, the answer is very simple, because this was not a tefillah directed to the Ribono Shel Olam. God promised the Ribono Shel Olam, assured us from the outset, Va'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'socham. If you do it right, if everybody builds the Mishkan the way it's supposed to be constructed, I promise you, you have my word, that I will be there, that my Shechina will reside in the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu here was offering not a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a plea to Klal Yisrael. And what he asked them was, you know, we've spent a lot of time focusing all of our energy, all of our attention on the Mishkan. And we spent every day worrying about the Shekhinah and how are we best going to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is comfortable and what are we going to do to make sure that every single aspect of this Mishkan is built in the proper way, and their entire day was revolving around Hashra's HaShekhinah. It was spent with Moshe Rabbeinu, with Aaron HaKohen, with Bezalel, with everybody else who was involved in building this beautiful Mishkan. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned. That life is now over. Now the Mishkan is built and everybody goes back home. And your focus of your day is no longer on Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen and building a Mishkan and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now the focus of your life is going to be on the minutia of life, on everything else that takes up the mind of a human being in the world in which he or she lives. Well, now Moshe Rabbeinu says, I feel the need to offer a tefillah not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather a plea to Klal Yisrael. Yihi ratzon shetishre ha-shechina b'maseh yadeichem. May the Shechina find a comfortable place to reside in your day-to-day activities, in everything that you do. When you're no longer focused on the Mishkan, when you're no longer found in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, are you able to make sure that the Shechina is comfortable in your life even there? Are you sure that you understand Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'makom hazeh, that the Ribono Shel Olam can be found in every aspect of life, wherever we may be, even when we step away from the Mishkan, and we're no longer focused on that alone? Are we able to understand that Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, Shetishra Hashchina b'masi yadechem, was not a tefillah, but rather is a request of the Jewish people that as you take leave from the Mishkan, as you take leave from all of this great experience that we all had collectively together, are you able to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still comfortable in the life that you lead and in all that you do, in every business meeting that you have, in every college course that you attend, and in every interaction that you have in the world outside of the Mishkan, outside of the Beis Medrash? Are you sure that Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh as well? And just to finish off that thought, Rav Goldwith has in his beautiful drashos Hasufos Ma'arachos, Rav Goldwith was the Rosh Hashiva of Keren B'Yavne, and he has such a beautiful insight. When we know that Chazal say, Amalek was able to fight with Klal Yisrael, Sharafu Yudea Min HaTorah, suggests Rav Goldwith that's what it means. That Klal Yisrael was going to Moshe Rabbeinu's Daf Yomi Shir, and Klal Yisrael was learning as much as they should have, and everybody was doing great Torah study. And the problem there was not that they were not learning, but rather, Sherafu Yedehem Min HaTorah, that when it came to translate all those values of Torah into the lives that they lived, when it came to stepping away from Moshe Rabbeinu Shir, and from not being in his presence any longer, and from stepping away from the Mishkan, were they able to translate all the values that they learned from Moshe Rabbeinu to be a reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected of them? That's what Refu Yudeim in HaTorah means, because the Torah expects the complete experience from all of us. Not just that we make time, not just that we make sure that we are Kovea Itim, not just that we take Talmud Torah seriously, but that we take all the Torah that we learn into every aspect of life that we live and experience. And without that, it's Refu Yudeim Min HaTorah. Without that, you have such a deficiency in what the ultimate picture of being a religious and practicing Jew is all about. That's the lesson that Yaakov Avinu was taught in this week's parsha. That's what surprised him when he came to this new location and he's now no longer in the confines of the comfortable position of his own home, where his parents taught him all the great values in which he's supposed to live life, and now he's venturing out into the world for the very first time. And it hits him for the very first time that Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. There indeed is meant to be a presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina in this place as well, in this society, in this circumstance that I am now finding myself in. And it's not the same as the one in which I was raised, and it's much more complicated, and it's far more contaminated, and it's very confusing. And my job is to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found even there. That's what we remind ourselves of as we read and we think about Parshas Vayetze, as we go over the story of Yaakov Avinu. That is the challenge that we all have. And remind ourselves that the greatest miracle that one can ever do is to live in a world where you have chol to the right, chol to the left, and to somehow figure out how to create a situation of kedusha somewhere in the middle.